This program contains strong sexual content. No one under the age of 18 is permitted to listen to or download the podcast in any manner. The host, guest, and performers are all over the age of 18. Rebroadcasting this podcast in any manner is strictly prohibited without the written consent of the owners of the Hot Wife Podcast. The commentary of this program is the sole opinion of its host or guest and does not reflect that of the opinion of the Hot Wife Podcast owners, agents, or representatives. This podcast is not meant to be taken as professional advice.
Hi, this is Donna Lynn, and welcome to my Hot Wife Podcast, where we discuss all the good, the bad, and the really erotic of the swinger lifestyle. Hello, everybody. This is Donna Lynn, and welcome to my Hot Wife Podcast. Of course, I'm here with my wonderful husband, Vince.
Of course. Sure, yeah.
But today, we have a very, very special guest who is actually very notable in her field. Her name is Susan Broughton. Am I pronouncing that correctly, Susan? Okay. Yep. And she is an intimacy expert to millions. And as a champion and advocate for all of those who desire intimacy and passion in their whole life, she's created hundreds of techniques that transform having sex into making love and is the world's most respected sexual biohacker. I'm not even sure I know what a biohacker is, but I'm going to give that to you. So welcome, Susan, to the show. I'm so glad you were able to come on the show. This is a real... We're kind of like a little starstruck because, you know, you have so much like real expertise.
What was that? Wayne's World? We're not worthy.
We're not worthy.
Oh, you sillies. You are more than worthy. You're doing such great work in the world with your podcast and giving people ideas of how some of the things that you're doing might work for them. You are creating an expansion in the consciousness of our sexual potential. So it's my pleasure to be here, and I've been enjoying some of your shows. So hello, Donna and Vince.
Yeah. Hello, Susan. Welcome. And
as the male part of the show, I have to say, for those men that are listening, you need to look up Susan's name, her website, and everything else, Susan Broughton, B-R-A-T-T-O-N. She is incredibly beautiful.
Very sexy.
So everything,
like the low plunging
everything
shirt
that
you
she's going to offer up knowledge-wise, when you put the visual with it, you sit there and go, oh, boy.
Humana.
Yeah. You guys are so sweet. Thank you so much. I love the compliments. They're great. Who doesn't love them, right?
Exactly. I agree. Well,
we had a small little conversation before we started the podcast, and we're going to do something a little unique with Susan today.
Okay.
And we're going to
kind of... A little threesome? What's this?
A virtual threesome. Hey, I can disappoint long ways away.
You can disappoint across the country.
That's it. Disappoint through Zoom. That's pretty good. We're going to turn it over to Susan. Let her basically run the show today if she has questions.
Ooh,
so she can like kind of interview us and talk about what we may or may not be doing right or wrong in our lives and in the swinging world and direct us into, just don't talk Donna into leaving me yet.
Stop it.
I won't, Vince. Don't you worry.
I'm not. I'm
yeah.
Not going
well, thanks for giving me the, you know, the wheel. Let me drive.
Yeah,
I'm certainly
great.
Willing to do that. And I love it. My first question for the two of you is that I think it would be helpful for me to ask a couple of questions about your agreements with each other. Mm-hmm. And then that will naturally kind of precipitate questions about other types of constructs that couples have in their lives. I've got some questions about stag vixen, hot wife, the differences between those things. Are there other things in that category where there's a couple, a man and a woman, a male and a female couple who are having, making love with people outside of their relationship? What are some of those categories and how do you define them? Because I do think that they are loose constructs. And I think the more that we can show different type, and then I can share, you know, kind of what I do, what I call myself. And I bet there's more similarities than differences, even though we use different words to define things. Mm-hmm. And so I'd love to just start with that. And then I noticed that, Donna, you were like, what is sexual biohacking? I don't even know what that is. I think that I'd like to define that for you because one of the nice things about the two of you is that you're not exactly spring chickens either. You know,
no,
I'm 62 and having the best sex of my life.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And I feel, and I know for a fact through the data and research, that the longer that you keep having pleasurable intimacy, the longer you live, the younger you look, and the happier you are. And so I'd love to also just talk to you about your attitudes with regard to aging and sex. And I think those would be two great places to start. And then mm-hmm. Maybe from there, there will be other questions that come up. But the third thing that I would also love to know, and you could sprinkle it in, would be, what are you into right now that's really turning you on? Because sex is such an evolution, and we, as we mature, our sexuality matures and it evolves, and the things we used to think were like, oh, I don't know why anybody would do that, now are the stuff of our fantasies or our realities. And so I think that would be an interesting part of the conversation, would be just the evolution of a sexually progressive couple as they mature. Like, what can people hope for? So those are, I think, some interesting, juicy topics mm-hmm. that would be great to talk about. So I'd love to hear the first one, which is essentially, how do you define yourselves, and what is your relationship? What are your relationship agreements, boundaries, et cetera?
Oh, the only hardcore no we have is choking.
Well, that's more importantly, big... first of all, on a couple end.
Oh, safety.
It's safety and honesty.
Yep. There's no babies.
It's, you know, we're both agreed that we can play alone or mm-hmm. together in groups, you know, just like a slinky.
Like a slinky.
But, you know, again, neither of us would play with somebody more her. I'm not, if Donna's only 4'11", I'm 6 foot. So it's not, I'm not worried about some woman overthrowing me. I pray for that.
it's happened once or twice. Come on.
That's my fantasy, but we're not getting to that yet.
Okay.
It's always, as in any relationship, especially in the swinging world, you know, you want to make sure your partner is safe. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking just from STDs. I'm talking, or STIs now, as the term goes. Making sure that if she is playing with another person, that... you know, and I'm not there, that she's going to be safe and everything else and comfortable. Mm-hmm. And if that situation happens where, you know, sometimes you're someplace, something happens that, you know, come home, like, you know, one of her playmates could stop by while I'm out someplace and she wanted to play, she could play. She don't have to call and tell me. But when I get home, she, hey, so-and-so stopped by and, you know, played. That's fine. It's an honesty thing for us.
Before or after.
Our relationship, we've been married 20 years. In all honesty, I'm not exaggerating, we really haven't had any fights. We were best friends mm-hmm. before we got romantically involved. We were business partners and best friends. So we've always had a communication. There was never, when we got together, we didn't have that sexual tension. So that came later. So for us, the communication has always been super important, as it is in swinging, that, you know, you have to... communicate to your partner what you want, what you don't want, what you like, what you're so.
And I have to agree with Vince, is because all my other relationships always started with that sexual tension. You see somebody like, oh, I want to fuck him. Oh, he's so hot. And you get into that whole roller coaster of emotions, and then you're on that high, and then reality, boom, yeah.
Then she met me, and I killed all that.
Killed all that.
No sexual desire, no.
Nothing. Well, with Vince, it was different. We were, like you said, business partners. So we built that foundation of the house. That's what it was like. And there wasn't that whole, like, oh, baby, I want to fuck you right now. That came later. In fact, it was weird at first.
When is that showing up?
Someday, hon. Okay, I ordered it on Amazon. That's, all right. That'll be here.
Back ordered.
So we didn't have that. And Vince always says, he goes, maybe that's what people say, like, back in the day, you should only court, you should wait and have sex after you're married. Well, that ain't happening. But I understand, we understand it more mm-hmm. now. It's like, you build that foundation, because guess what? Like Vince and I always say, you're going to spend a whole lot of time outside the bedroom, more outside the bedroom than inside the bedroom. So if you can't communicate outside the bedroom what you want and need in your life, then, and you're going to have problems, it's going to carry over into the bedroom. The bedroom's not going to fix everything. That's like for us, that's the excitement. That's like the cherry on top. That's just a plus. But you've got to live outside the bedroom and deal with the day-to-day aspects of your life.
Just
life. And all the sexy stuff kind of like takes a back seat to it. But if you don't have that nice foundation, it's that bedroom excitement isn't going to hold over. Not for 20 years, I know that. It might last 5, 10, but not like this.
So what do you think? If you could tell couples, hey, here are the benefits of actually being completely honest with each other, and we recommend you unlearn all of the lying skills that you've assimilated from our culture, which is basically a lie-based culture. We withhold, we walk on eggshells, we stuff our feelings, we don't tell our truths, we don't stand for ourselves. You know, we're always, I mean, when you go from being a regular person in our society to being a person who's in a relationship with a partner where it's 100% truthiness, there are definitely some moments where you have to learn how to be honest, because it's lying is so woven into the fabric of our culture and our relationships. What is it that you think, if you were like trying to sell someone on it's totally worth it to do this, what are the benefits of complete honesty in a relationship? Because I have that as well, but I didn't have it for the first dozen years of my relationship, and now I'm at 32. Mm-hmm. So for 20 out of 32, we've been completely honest. Mm-hmm. And it is such a game changer. But I'd love to hear what you two have to say about why it's such a game changer.
Well, in any case, if you start lying, you have to lie to cover lies, and then you forget. And one of the most important aspects of a relationship is trust. You know, my daughter is now separating from her husband after about a year and a half. And actually, my son-in-law was here yesterday and talking to me. And, you know, they've had problems. They both admit the problems on both sides. But at this point, they have no trust because they've been lying to each other and everything else. And their communication, they openly admit their communication was wrong. You know, I raised my kids with don't lie. You don't need to, you know, don't do something wrong so you don't have to lie. And, you know, for us, it's just like, you know, some people have a hard time digesting me because I am brutally honest. I'm not going to, sprinkle powdered sugar on it and tell you it's dessert, you know? Mm-hmm. But that is a fetish, but that's a different thing. I've always been raised, you know, my parents raised me not to lie, and I do my darndest not to.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes it's a matter of shame. People in the bedroom, especially, they might like a certain practice that might be frowned on in society, or they feel a shame associated with it. Or, a woman might be more aggressive sex and feel ashamed toward it because it's maybe she doesn't think it's ladylike, or maybe she thinks it's, you know, akin to, you know, a rape fantasy, and that's kind of taboo. Or I think a lot of we have these shames that have been put on us through society, through our upbringing, maybe any kind of religious aspects. They might put kind of some kind of a shame aspect. And if you're just honest with what you're to your partner, and I only need to be honest with him. I don't need to be honest with everybody else. I mean, it's nice, but if I'm 100% honest with my partner, I'm going to get everything I need in this relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, no BS, no lies. This is what I need. I want you, you know, I want anal, I want my hair pulled. These are, you know, you can be specific with what you like, or you want a safe environment that you can express and explore your sexual desires. If Vince came to me and said, hey, I want a threesome with, you know, four other women, and I want this, and I'd be like, yeah, let's explore that. And there's no, there's obviously no shame in that. But I have guys come to me, I secretly want to be pegged, and my wife won't do it. And I'm like,
words I've never said.
Words Vince has never said. But there might be a shame, you know. I don't see anything wrong with it. I'm not comfortable with it. But You know, that's just me. I mean,
well, I've come to the conclusion that, you know, life is short. You know, we've all lost people we love.
Right.
And, as long as you're not hurting someone, it's all consenting and they're of legal age, you know, go own it. You know, I have no gay tendencies. I have no problem with gay people. And, you know, there's people that are more and more people coming out that they're bi or whatever. And that's great. Yeah. Own it.
Own it.
You know, life is short. As long as you're not hurting anyone, you know, hey, own it. It might not, you know, might not be something I like or want to do, but if that's you, go for it.
One of the things that I've noticed about becoming totally honest in my relationship is that once I did, so I have a set of relationship values. My number one relationship value is security. I grew up in a not well attached childhood. I had quite a difficult childhood. Not as difficult as many, but difficult in its own right. And when I married, when I was 31, I married because I felt that he could protect me. And I'm a woman who wants to be protected. I like to be really out there. And so being out there, I like the protection, the security, the safety of having my partner really watching over me and keeping his eye on me and, you know, really believing that I am his to protect. Mm-hmm. And the second thing that I realized is that I need honesty, because honesty is a form of security, because you always know where you stand. Mm-hmm. And so honesty is very important to me. I also need my freedom. I need to be totally taken care of and given my head. And I also need passion. I need great sex in my relationship. And a part of that is variety. Mm-hmm. I need a lot of variety. I get bored doing the same things over and over. And so my husband really understands those things about me. And one of the things, we weren't honest for the first dozen years. And then we were like, we're going to lose our marriage if we don't start telling each other the truth. Let's just say the words. And what we noticed in being honest at first was, oh, wow, being honest is a lot less about your imperfection and a lot more about my own imperfection as I speak my truth. Your own jealousies and fears and insecurities and pettiness really come to the surface when you begin to tell the truth. And I think that being an honest person actually matures you and makes you a much better person. And what I have found now over the years, and this really started for me around the time of the pandemic and around the time of the 2020 presidential election, where we were bifurcated as a country. Mm-hmm. And some of us had beliefs that were, you know, I'm pro-vaccination, I'm pro-mask, I'm anti-vaccination, I'm anti-mask, I'm for Trump, I'm against Trump, you know, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm Antifa, I'm woke, I'm a Nazi, I don't whatever, you know. We really got polarized as a country.
Yes.
And that pushed me even further, because I've come from the conscious sexuality community, mm-hmm. which is kind of like an intersection of polyamory, sex parties, safe sex, being with other people, all that kind of stuff. What I realized was that my value system became even more important to me. For two reasons. Number one, I didn't want to work with or hang out with people who didn't reflect my progressive liberal, you know, I want good for everyone of all colors. I want to lift people up. That's me. These are my beliefs. And I had COVID very badly. So I was a person who benefited from the vaccinations. And, you know, what I realized was I don't want to hang out with people who lie and don't hold my values. And one of my biggest values is keeping me safe and all the people around it. So I don't like risky behavior people. Mm-hmm. I don't like people who lie. Mm-hmm. And I just started to not be with people who didn't reflect my values, mm-hmm. because I didn't want to have to filter myself. I wanted mm-hmm. to be able to be exactly who I was, and I wanted to be totally loved for being the person who I really, truly am. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I am loved for being that person by literally, I think, maybe millions of people at this mm-hmm. point, because I've got, you know, I've had a lot of good publicity and I've been out there in the world. And it really allowed me to step more fully into who I am, what I want, in an unabashed way that creates a lot less friction and disturbance in the field of your life when you are with people with whom you are aligned and you can kind of cut through the shit and get real and be honest mm-hmm. and know that you will be accepted for it. And I gravitated toward people where I could just be my true self and be loved for it. And I think there are a lot of people who are caught in trying to be people pleasers, saying what they think people want to hear, not understanding what their boundaries are or how to stand for their own boundaries. And I just think that honesty moves you toward that feeling of self-confidence and alignment with others so you can have deeper, more beautiful connections with the people who are similar and share similar values. So I really learned a big values lesson over the last, you know, 5 years or so.
No, that's true. I found that in the lifestyle, in that community, that it seemed like people were, first of all, they're a lot less judgmental. There's a lot of openness. They're so much more open than vanilla people. Vince could show his artwork, which has a lot of nudity. He would show them to vanilla people, and they're like, "Oh my God, that's like pornography." It's like, it's a nude. Did you ever look at the Sistine Chapel? Do you not know, you know, Peter Paul Rubens? Yeah. Come on, these are fallacies as huge.
I can't just photograph fruit.
Yeah, exactly.
the fruit bowl has been done to death, okay?
But people in the lifestyle are just so much more open across the board with so many things. I just felt like they were so, even if you had different belief systems, they were still like, hey, I might not be into that, but you do you. And they're really okay with that. They're not trying to change you. They're not trying to, you know, shame you into doing things.
And one of the things we've talked about more recently on our podcast has been, over the last year, we started going to a house party that is generally, I'm going to say that the mean average age is going to be 50.
50.
Okay. And
average age 50. That's pretty good.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So we've had bad experiences at clubs and meet and greets, so we don't do them. But you know, at this house party, you know, the honesty, since we're talking on that topic, that is really great there is, you know, not everyone is the pretty people. That, you know, they're not the perfect bodies and whatever. But, you know, everyone is genuine. Everyone, you could tell they're comfortable in their skin and they're genuine people. And everyone mixes and mingles and plays. You know, we've been to these, like I said, clubs and stuff. And everyone wants to kind of, segregate into groups like, oh, we're pretty and they're not. No, they're older and, you know, and so the honesty of, in our case, we've been talking about is that, like this house party, it's just so refreshing that there's, you know, people in their 30s that, you know, come there and, you know, they're playing with someone in their 60s or whatever. And someone that isn't, you know, doesn't have a perfect body or whatever. And it's just, I don't know. It's just so refreshing. Again, it's that like-mindedness that, you know what? It's, you know, we're going on the value of the person, not the superficial.
Exactly.
Well, I think by the time you get to your 60s, you're a pretty good lover. It takes a while. So those 30-year-olds that are with those 60-year-olds are actually very lucky to be with them because, you know, by the time you are older and you're still sexually active, you have so much wisdom about the body and pleasure and safety and connection. And I think it's so, what the physical form looks like is so unimportant compared to the truthfulness, the heart connection, the keeping people safe. I've got a couple quick questions for you. One is, how do you define that? So, Donna, you call yourself a hot wife. Vince, what do you call yourself? And how does that compare to stag and vixen? And how would you compare that to a cuckolding relationship?
That's interesting.
How would you compare those three?
Well, I'm not a cuckold in the sense of I don't want to be belittled or
humiliated
or any of that. I don't go for that.
Yep.
You are a voyeur, though.
Again, being a photographer by nature, you're a voyeur. I mean, a photographer is showing you the world through his eyes. So for me, I enjoy, to me, there's nothing more erotic than my wife giving or receiving pleasure. I find that extremely erotic. And the fact that I can capture it in video and or photos, again, a photograph is a moment in time that can't be replaced. No matter, you could try it again, but it's not the same. And so for me, that is my fetish, I guess.
So what do you call yourself?
I'm just thinking that.
I guess I call myself more of a voyeur.
Hot wife with voyeur.
Yeah.
I guess technically. I mean, so not that not I don't so play much. With others. I just, it's not a, not mandatory for me.
Yep. Okay. And how would you compare a hot wife and your non-cuckold voyeuristic desires as compared to stag and vixen?
Well, define stag for me.
Yeah, stag and vixen. I'm like,
that's a new term to me.
I see them on all the, on this various social media things, and I just think, okay, stag and vixen's kind of like, I know they're swinger terms. I just don't know how they correspond to hot wife and hot husband in this case, or voyeur.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know how they correspond.
I don't understand the difference between them either. I understand the cuckold distinction of that is more specifically degradation, humiliation of the man where the wife is getting fucked by, other people. Mm-hmm. But that's interesting. So in my particular relationship, so I'm with my husband now 32 years, and I have a boyfriend who is, pretty much a full-time boyfriend. He also has two other girlfriends who are monogamous to him. Mm-hmm. And we consider ourselves to be what we would like to call a monogapod. That's kind of our little name for it. And that is that we are fluid bonded kitchen table poly people. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'll define that for your listeners as well, because a lot of people don't hear a lot of these terms. So we don't necessarily use the word open relationship because we like polyamorous better, because we tend to have more long-term deep relationships with our lovers. Mm-hmm. And we don't necessarily if we go to a sex party, we tend to have sex with each other. Mm-hmm. Or if we have intimacy with another person, it's only, there's a restricted number of things we can do. And that's because we are in this notion of a fluid bonded group. And right now, it's just my husband, my boyfriend, and I. But it expands and contracts over time. I had a girlfriend last year as well. That was a really fun experience. I had another boyfriend recently for about 6 months. And so I was with three men, and I had a lot of experiences with three men that I'd never had before, because I'd never had three guys screened in to my group before. And so we did like air tights and things like that, which were really fun. And they were all really good together. They're all straight, but not, they don't have any problem touching each other or getting super close or any of that. And so those were some incredible life experiences that I had with three incredible guys that totally loved me and really loved each other. And it was so nice for me, because my style of sex and the sex techniques that I teach are heart-connected, conscious, passionate lovemaking. Mm-hmm. What I'm really trying to do is help people transform having sex into making love. I'm trying to take the performative aspect out of it and get down to the pleasure, the connection, the surrender, the orgasmic enjoyment, those kinds of things, helping people kind of get out of their head and into their body and into their soul connection. And the way that we do our safe sex piece of it is that we have a list of, essentially, I work with this company called Basis DX. It's Basis Diagnostics, and they have an at-home STD test where you buy it online, they ship it to you, and then it's just little finger prick blood blots on paper. You don't have to go into a lab and give a blood test with needles. A lot of people hate needles, man. Mm-hmm. And they can do the blood spot. There might be a swab required. There might be a urine sample. It just depends on which test they get. I like their basis 8 with upsell to 8 HSV 1 and 2, because I like people to know that they have herpes, but it's no reason for me not to be with them. I just want them to be aware of it so that they might think, oh, that's not a zit on my ass. That's a lesion, right? Like right. It just becomes, we all know that we got to look out for that and just do body scan. So everyone who we are sexual with has gone through all the testing, gotten their test results, provided them to the entire group. My husband's the document keeper. He keeps the document with everyone's and shares our tests back to that person who came into the group. And then everyone knows that it's safe and we can have non-condom sex. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes people come in for a weekend and then they screen back out. It's called screening in or screening out. That's our terminology. And by the way, we didn't invent this. We learned this from really old school Marin County poly people who were PhDs and doctors who ran this, their long-term 40-year poly relationships completely safely in this way. And if we want to, so there's, we look at the distinction of an A and B level of safety. And the A level is they're fully screened in. We know exactly what we're dealing with and everyone is safe. B level is that we can, without asking any of our partners, we have the agreement that we can make out with someone and we can put our hands on their genitals and on their body, but we can't put our mouth on their genitals or our genitals on their genitals, and they can't do that to us either. So the mouth and genital contact is that moves into an unsafe risk profile from our perspective. Mm-hmm. And so that's nice because you get some freedom to play and you can have tons of orgasms and super hot sex with somebody with sex toys and your hands and kissing and, you know, kissing their breasts and, you know, those kinds of things, without needing to do more. And I often find that gives me much more comfort that I don't have to quote unquote go all the way with someone mm-hmm. that I'm not ready to do anyway, because I'm one of those people that really, I'm very, if you will, sapiosexual and demisexual. So sapiosexual, I like super smart people. I care more about your brain and your values and your honesty and your integrity than I do about how your body presents. I fall in love with the person, not the physical form. Now, that being said, I like a hot body to go with all that. That's fine. But hot has a wide variety.
I had
for
a
me.
Chance up to that and, point.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a chance. And then demisexual is emotional connection. That's another thing for me, is that I'm less transactionally oriented and more emotionally connected. And it's easy for me to love. I've really worked my heart muscle and it's a strong muscle in my body, and I love a lot of people, and so I like to love and I like to feel loved and I like to be loved. So I think that what we call ourselves as a fluid bonded screening group or a monogapod has worked very well for us. Not always with any kind of open relationships of any sort, you do have strife with people at times, and it can be very upsetting and very edgy and a big, big fucking growth experience. But we are willing to have growth experiences, to be honest, to have safe sex talks, to have, you know, physiologic safety. And that's been going well for us. I wouldn't change it. It's been standing the test of time for the way we like to do things. And so I think it's really fun to just have different perspectives on how couples navigate being in a relationship where you are intimate with others. So I'd love to know what you guys do around STIs to keep yourself safe, because it's so paramount in our relationship.
Well, we try to stay away from people that would be high risk. So mm-hmm. they're, like you said, they're educated. You do a body scan, you know, if you see any lesions, you know, you bring it to attention. Or we had one guy, he had like a it wasn't really a big deal, but he had like a big vein on his neck. It was like really weird looking. He was, oh, it's almost like a varicose vein on his penis. It was really weird looking. Yeah. I was like, is this okay? And he was like, no, and he explained it to me because he actually was a physician who was in the lifestyle. So, but it just been, you know, stay away from the people that are, you know, high risk. I don't, you know, drug users and, you know, people that are homeless and
condoms can get used.
I'm not opposed to them at all. But once we know people, I feel like we know them well enough that we don't need that extra protection. And also having a conversation with them that, like you said, I fall in love more with the personality than I do. You know, physically, it's always like, oh, yeah, he's hot. But it's the conversation and the spark and excitement. Are we on the same level here? Do you want to have, sometimes a picture doesn't always portray what they're really like. You know, sometimes like, oh, I know Vince had me. He invited a younger guy over, and I'm like, oh, Vince, I just don't think he's going to work. He's kind of, you know, kind of chubby. He's kind of this. Boy, oh, boy, I was wrong. You cannot judge a book by the cover. And I was, you know, and now he's very articulate. He's fun. He's very humorous. And it just, you know, upset my little, my apple cart, which is fine. I thought it was kind of, but Vince is like, you got to play with him. I think you're going to be really surprised. I'm like, okay. I was surprised. I was very surprised. He was actually a lot of fun. So, yeah.
And again, we don't have a big stable of people we play with. It's, again, it's kind of a closed group.
Yeah. And so you're doing a similar thing. You've got pretty much a closed group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I said, we don't go to clubs or stuff like that.
That
just
scares
for a lot
me.
Of reasons. We've had some bad experiences. And just, again, Donna, you know, being a dancer for 22 years, grew up, you know, worked in loud music bars and stuff.
Not my thing.
And again, I'm a big believer, like, if you're going out to meet somebody, I don't want to have to yell and scream across the table to them. I want to have a conversation. I don't want to, I grew up with an Italian family, so I don't, I'm used to people yelling when they're 2 feet away, and it's just, I don't like that. So, I want to have a conversation, and I don't need to share my conversation. If we're in a normal public bar, I don't want to, sit there and try to flirt at, 600 decibels. We have a really nice property here. It's secluded, built into a hill. So a lot of times if we meet people, we just invite them over here. We have, nice private in-ground pool and everything else when it's not 20 degrees outside. But it's another story.
Spring.
So, for us, and like you said, we're not quick to jump in bed or whatever.
Let's meet
and talk and see if there's a chemistry or whatever.
Right.
Again, one of the dynamics of the situation is, before she plays with someone, I have to not only does she have to approve of them, I have to.
Right.
It's got to be something I feel I can trust him.
Right.
And that, he's clear on. Like I said, sexual rules. We don't agree with her. Donna's a small woman. Like I said, she doesn't like rough sex and I find choking personally very disrespectful. So I tell these people, you don't want to choke her because then I get to choke you, and you don't want that. I don't want that. So, and as long as guys understand the rules and. And generally we always try to say friends first.
Yeah.
That
makes sense.
Yeah. We have a few of the guys that, that are in Donna's stable friends that,
hey,
do you need help carrying the firewood up? Hey, do you need help with the snow? Do you guys need, want to come over and help you clean the driveway?
It's a more social thing too.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's very kitchen table poly, that's very family. It's very family oriented, which is one of the things I like. My husband and I recently ran into a difficult situation, and my boyfriend literally got on a plane and showed up 3 hours later to help us. It's like we're all the way in to support each other. Quick question, because I know we're running out of time, and I do want to talk a little bit about ageless sexuality, but could you just very quickly tell me currently what you're finding is really turning you on? Something new that you're doing that you're excited about sexually?
Well, it kind of came as a surprise. I'm going back to the threesome with the host and the hostess. We went up there, and I started out being a little threesome. Then Vince jumped in too and did the wife. But I found out I really, really liked getting pounded anally while having my hair pulled. I had the strongest orgasm I have had in a very long time, and this gentleman was my first experience with the BDSM world and power exchange. And we did some, I had to take like a little, I'll call it a class or better, for lack of a better term. So I'd be trained in that. So I'm very comfortable with him dominating me. And he does just the right amount of dominance without being abusive. And it's like loving dominance. And the anal with that, I've just been like really blossoming, really loving the anal. I don't know why. It was one of those kind of things like, ew, anal, why would you want to do that? It hurts, blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God. There are days I'm like, you know, just skip the pussy. Just go right in the back door, because that's where I really want you to be anyway. It just, the orgasms are stronger. I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's so much more primal. Maybe that's what I'm experiencing. And the hair pulling, oh, when he gets it like real tight, like really close to the root, oh dear God, there's like
you're having a moment.
I'm having a moment here. Oh, I got like little chills, like, oh, I'm getting it now, like little goosebumps.
You need to go away,
over.
Susan, or I can talk and you can
I have to go get one of my toys. I'll be right back. But it was the most incredible orgasm I've had in a long time, and we have a videotape. And I watch it, I'm like, oh, the whole thing was just so hot. The way Vince, the lighting I found very romantic, and it was like, is there just spotlights? So there's lots of shadow that's kind of, it's not like
I just
all
had a small little single light on my video camera, and the room was dark.
And the room,
so it was, the lighting was actually almost kind of primal too.
Yeah, it was like, kind of primal.
It's sort of like you walked into a room with a flashlight and just caught these people, and they didn't stop doing what they were doing.
Yeah. It was.
Are you posting your videos on OnlyFans? Do you have an OnlyFans?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, OnlyFans.
Oh, great. What's the name of your OnlyFans?
Well, your best bet is if you go to hotwifedonnalynn.com.
It's on all my links.
It's got all the links to everything and
super
what have you. But we find OnlyFans is becoming more cumbersome. They're getting stricter and stricter.
I can't do any kind of bondage, no restraints. I did. They tore it down because I was with a guy with a very, very large penis. We call him lovingly beer can because it's that big. And I had a huge butt plug in and his dick. They tore it down. Extreme gaping. You cannot put that up on OnlyFans. I cannot be restrained.
With a cigar, and they took it down. They said that is not a sexual device. You cannot put that kind of stuff up.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I love many vids. I feel like even their if I have any problems, their tech support I find very. I don't know. I just feel like first of all, they're very quick to respond. They're much more giving. They're a little more, I don't know, they embrace a whole lot of fetishes that you cannot do on OnlyFans.
Do you have an OnlyFans site?
Yes, I do. If you go to moresusan.com, there's a link there to it. I have both a free membership and I have a paid monthly membership. I enjoy not knowing I'm being filmed because, again, I'm so against the performative. I don't want to feel like anything is taking me out of my connection and pleasure. But my partners do like to film, and they will post it for me. And I really use it mostly as teaching moments where I'm explaining what we're doing in very non-pornographic, very loving terms. And one of the things that I like about it is that in my intimacy business, what I do as a publisher of passionate lovemaking techniques is that my kind of core focus is orgasm skills. Learning the 20 kinds of orgasms, how to expand your orgasmic capacity, what your orgasmic potential is so that you understand how to achieve it. Doing orgasmic cross training, all of these kinds of things. And so I think that one of the things I've always felt about being a sexpert is that it is important to be sexy, And, you know, I don't think Dr. Ruth is the model that we need anymore. No. I think that was a good one for 20 or 30 years ago. Yeah. It's nice when you're with a sex expert who's teaching you sex skills, who is sexy themselves, and will actually allow you to see what their sex looks like. Mm-hmm. So that you can see what they're talking about when you're reading, when you read my articles and I teach you skills, you see that they're what I'm doing. So I think it's a walk the talk. And then another thing I like about it, and this really leads me into the last thing I want to talk to you about, because I know we need to go. And that is that.
Well, we're not on time schedule. Are you?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
One of the things that I really like to talk about as one of my major platforms is ageless sexuality. Mm-hmm. The fact that we get better and better as we age, as long as we keep our bodies in good shape, we keep our equipment working. And so I spend a lot of time teaching men how to use a penis pump. One of my number one books, I've written 44 books and programs, and probably my number three most downloaded book is called The Pump Guide. It's at pumpingguide.com for your listeners. Okay. And what it does is it has the pump I recommend and the protocols for men to keep atrophy at bay, reverse atrophy, improve blood carrying capacity, increase firmness, increase duration, increase sensation. You know, men say they get desensitized as they age, right? Because mm-hmm. that's the vascular retraction that makes the nerves kind of retract along with the blood flow. And then all the way up into male enhancement or sexual biohacking, which is, you know, how do you take what you've got and get it back to how it was when you were young? And then how do you make it even better? Uh-huh. And I've done that with, and then beyond pumping, Gainswave for men, which is the acoustic wave treatment right. to the penis mm-hmm. that really is, for a lot of guys, pumping might not be enough for them. And so reversing the atrophy of aging and getting all that blood flow and firmness back, Gainswave works really well. Taking a nitric oxide supplement is like ground zero. You really need a lot of nitric oxide supplementation as you age.
I'm writing this down.
Flow going. And it's all in the pump guide, which is nice. Okay. And then for women, FemiWave. I like red light therapy inside the vagina to keep the vaginal mucosal lining thick and making glycogen, which is what the good bacteria eat. That's vaginadevice.com, femiwave.com. Mm-hmm. Those are two really good therapies. And then for women, using a lot of both bodies, penis owners and vulva owners, using a lot of different types of toys to activate different parts of the genital system. Mm-hmm. So you're not just relying on that one pathway to orgasm. You're expanding all your pathways to orgasm using tools that activate the tissue, send better signals to the brain, and have move things from it hurts, it's numb, it's painful, to that feels good. And that's at orgasmiccrosstraining.com, all those tools. I was just in LA and I just spoke at the Vibe show and I did my orgasmic cross training kind of presentation there, and people friggin' love knowing about that. Like they don't sure. think about the fact that, oh wow, I can develop more mm-hmm. orgasmic ability? Yes, you can. Oh, and there's tools that will help me accelerate that? Yes, there are. And so I think those things are really important. And I guess what I'd like to do, because, you know, just to kind of close it off with the two of you, I've really enjoyed this conversation, but maybe just words of wisdom for your listeners about why it is so important to continue to pursue your passion and pleasure as you age. Like, what are maybe the top three benefits that kind of spill over into the other parts of your life? I think that if the three of us kind of answered that, it would probably be a good, nice close for our segment, if that sounds good to you guys.
Sure. I think, first of all, the great sexual life, it keeps you close to your mate.
Mm, that's true.
You know, I always tell people that, you know, like when you don't have a regular sex life, you know, you might be 2 weeks out and your wife says, oh, can you take the trash out? Well, in your head, you're like, go to hell, you know, but your wife, you know, you have a good sex life and your wife says, hey, honey, I need you to, you know, cut your hand off. Like, here you go. You know, men are simple creatures. But no, I think, and I also think a good sex life gives you good self-worth. You feel attractive. You feel positive. It's hard to be depressed after an orgasm.
I think that positivity also from an orgasm or feeling attractive to your mate spills into your other life too. Out of the bedroom, you just feel positive about everything. It's like, well, you know, even if a bad thing, it's like somebody, you know, cuts you off in traffic, whatever. I don't care about him. My husband loves me. He thinks I'm sexy. He's going to give me a good orgasm. We're going to give each other great orgasms. So I get rid of that negativity because the positive is just going to spill over into the rest of my life.
Yeah, I love that. I would say for me, it would be that I feel like mastering my sexuality has put me head and shoulders above people who forfeit theirs. That it has made me vital and like I have mega wattage from the sexual pleasure that I get, you know, the nervous system reboot, the cascade of the hormones, the lighting up of my brain and oxygenation of my brain and all these areas from coming. It also makes me feel deeply loved and adored. I feel so adored. And I like that. And then I think that having good sex, it definitely makes me look younger and feel younger. I like the physical and I like the emotional pieces of it. But I also feel like a motherfucking badass. Like, I'm a badass bitch. I'm hot and sexy and 62. Yep. And like, I am having a life, a really incredible life. And I think the thing about that is that it's all free. It costs nothing. It's literally just your attitude about it's being almost worthy enough to have it. And the last thing I like about it is that I think when you are a highly sexual being and you're getting all of those benefits, what you're also doing is you're putting two middle fingers up to religious repression, patriarchal repression, cultural bullshit and lying. Like, nobody's holding me back from having joy and pleasure in my life. I am a sovereign woman who makes the decisions about what is right for me, and I am in control of my life, my body, and my pleasure. And I think that that really flows over into every other aspect of one's life as well. So I really like to stand for that ageless sexuality, teach people sexual biohacking so they can keep going when, you know, things do happen. And I don't want people to give up just because they need an oil change, if you will, right? Why abandon the car when all you need is an oil change? Exactly. So I think those are some of my favorite things about being a sexy goddess.
I love it.
I could talk to her for days.
For days.
I'll come back.
I know. That sounds great. I'm going to hold you to that. Okay. I'm going to hold you to that.
Yeah, sure.
Love to have you on. Our email, I've been dealing with your publicist, is hotwifepodcast@gmail.com. If you could send us all your links, and we're going to pump that out through our social media so the listeners can check out all everywhere to see.
Great.
Everything you are offering and talking about, which
I feel energized.
Yeah. This was like, again, we were first like, you know, after seeing all your credentials, like, why does she want to talk to us? But now it's like, I'm glad you talked to us.
I'm glad. Yeah. I feel so energized. You know,
and if you ever make it to the East Coast, you definitely have to let us know.
I will. Well, I do come back, so I will let you know. I've got family there still. Okay. So it was very nice to be with you. Thank you so much for having me on. I thought we had a wonderful conversation, and I think we've been a big help to your listeners. Just hearing different perspectives, that we're very aligned, that's nice for people to know there's plenty of people like us out there. So thank you.
Yeah, we're not alone. We're definitely not alone.
No, the one thing I wanted to quick touch that I wanted to say, she's talking about getting older aspect, is I've always said that women 35 and over is the age I use, are better at lovemaking than women in their 20s, because at 35, women start to grasp, and men appreciate orgasms better, how to give and receive them.
Yes.
So the older you get, it just gets stronger. So Anyway,
yes,
she has to
run. Sure does. Okay. It sure does. All right. Well, much love to you both, Donna and Vince. It's been really a pleasure. More to come. And yeah, I'll send you those links. And yeah, love to talk to you again. It was really a joy. I'm going to go work out now.
Okay. That sounds like fun. All right. You too,
Susan. Thank you, Susan.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So again, I want to thank Susan for coming on the show. That was great.
That was awesome.
Awesome. We'll wrap it up. Email us at hotwifepodcast@gmail.com and we'll get you those links and show you where you can see and hear more of Susan.
She's one sexy lady. Boy, oh boy. She's very sexy.
So, all right, we're going to wrap this up. So thanks for listening.
All right. Good night, everybody. Let's go back to work.